at 2OEL. Operating as K2BAR, the call sign of the Bear Amateur Radio Association. Tonight is the normal technical net. It seems that our friend Gordon is not at home, and he asked me to run it for him. Okay, as is the usual, when you check in, please say whether you have a question or a comment. We don't have Gordon to give the excellent answer, so hopefully there will be some people that will volunteer answers. Okay, anybody who's called sign begins with the letter W, W-A or W-B, please call K2BAR.
W2JEK. No question.
Thank you, Don. Anybody else? W, W-A, W-B.
W-2R, Charlie, no question.
Thank you. I got Charlie, but I didn't quite get your call. You're a little bit noisy. Let me turn up the volume here.
Okay, W-2R, Whiskey, Echo, 2, Romeo.
Is it Whiskey, Echo, 2, Romeo?
Roger, yes.
Okay, WA, WB, WC, there is such a thing, WX. How about A also?
Alpha Juliet 4, Whiskey Delta, Rachel. No questions, no comments.
Thank you, Rachel. Okay, anybody with a, how about K, K-A, K-B, K-C? Is that K2GBD? I thought I heard KC2GBD wrong. Is that you, Ron?
Roger. I'm here. I have no questions and no comments.
Thank you. Anybody else who has checked in yet?
K2AMI, Tony.
Zero.
Okay, I got Jim, K2ZO, and he doubled with somebody.
To somebody, K2AMI.
That's Jim and Tony. Anybody else there?
K2DFL, David, out to run inside to the house.
Okay, I got David. Anybody else?
NS2K, Jim, no questions at this point.
Okay, Jim, Tony, David, and the other Jim. Anybody else? Oh, I'm the only one that has a question. Oh, how disappointing. And I turned on the radio after I got done with my work, because I have a question. The question for the group is, I knew what a line isolator is, I thought, anyways. I have two radio works. It says on a product line isolator, model number Terminator 4, model serial number 106052, I don't believe they made that many. Then I got another one. Same thing. 106051. Wow. Okay. And I got something called the Line Isolator T4960052. Serial number. Line Isolator. Are these the same as a current bond, or are they something different? I figure they'll be useful when I'm in a vehicle that has a fiberglass top and I'm driving around with wiring exposed up there in the air. Anybody wishing to comment on this? Wow. Without Gordon around, we are bereft.
K2ZO with a comment.
Go ahead, Jim.
Basically, a current balance of the style that uses a ferrite bead or rod or core just chokes off the RF from the outside. The line isolator that you have uses a two-hole core, commonly called a binocular type core, because it's got two holes in it. Inside it, it uses Teflon coax, small diameter, but good for high power, RG-303 or RG-400, as I remember. If you cut that thing apart, what you'll find is that the coax goes through the binocular core like two times. And, of course, each time you go through, you multiply the inductance by four. So that's how they get the real good isolation. Yes, you can use it as a balun, but of course you have to realize that it's got two RPL-259s on it to go into a piece of coax. But if you were using it on a beam with a coax fed, it would work just as well.
So my worry is, I'm going to probably have the radio on the kitchen table, then I'm going to have coax going from there through the vehicle, and I may not be able to get it down on the floor. It might be up in the air, relatively close to the antenna. And then it's going to go to a 4-to-1 bound, and I'm not sure if the bound is still going to be into the vehicle, and then I run 450 ohm out, or put it outside. And so my concern is that I probably have strong RF fields in certain spots. I'll probably have to wear a tinfoil hat because of the space aliens. Anyways, I was worried that I might have a little RF floating around, especially if I put the amp on it. And I need a line isolator between the transceiver and the amp, and between the amp and the length of coax going to the 4-to-1, and then one there at the 4-to-1. But when the guy offered these, he had a bunch of these, must be from a SK estate, since the serial numbers are consecutive. I figured they would be perfect for this purpose, and since they sell, I got three of them for the price, less than the price of a new one. Thank you, Jim.
Okay, yeah, well, they will keep RF, that is common mode, coming back on the coax, if that's where it's coming from. If you are experiencing problems, i.e. RF in the microphone lead, that may not be coming back that way. They may be the fact that you're just sitting in the strong field. So then there's other things you have to do. Also, I'm still not sure why you're using a 4-to-1 balun and to feed the antenna. I'm not sure that you really require that. K2BAR, K2ZO.
So the truth is, I'm going to try it both ways, but basically it's going to be a very, very short loop antenna. I'm going to stick it off the back of the vehicle because with my cargo carrier there, I have approximately 5 feet, 5.5 feet since the X comes in. So I have 5.5 feet out there that's in free space about 10 feet off the ground. So my idea was feed it at that point, come down both sides of the vehicle, one on each side, and somewhere over the fiberglass in front, have the two ends come together, and see my friends at the Hackensack Auto Wreckers and get enough sheet metal to put on top of the bed. There's a queen-size bed at the top. And my idea is to cover it with 18-gauge steel or the equivalent, or whatever I can get, and perhaps smaller pieces, and I'll just lay one on top of the other, the idea is to make a some sort of metal steel RF barrier between my head and the top of the antenna. So, because it's going to be a loop, I thought that 4-to-1 should be appropriate. So I could try it with just the line isolator and just feed it right there.
That's what I would do. That's what I would do. I don't think you need a 4-to-1 valve. That impedance is not going to be anywhere near a high impedance. And why are you trying to isolate yourself from all this RF? Are you planning to have any children or anything?
Well, I wasn't worried so much about the children. I was just worried about the possible brain cancer. I'm not sure about that, but I figure better be safe than sorry.
Well, there is a program that you can calculate the amount of RF, but, you know, at your age, what difference does it make? You die of something else before that'll kill you.
I have 12 pounds of metal in between me. Titanium, stainless steel, something or other. My worry is RF heating effect.
Internal arcing.
There you go, internal arcing. I'd vote for that. Yeah, well, what you do is next time the grid, we'll grid dip you at kit night and tell you what frequencies to avoid.
When I was young, very, very young, I was part of a Joe Berg science seminar, and one of the things that this group did was take a tour of the Westinghouse tube plant in Bath, New York, if I remember correctly. And it was, you went in there, there was this big, like gymnasium floor-sized building, and all these ladies assembling little tubes together. And they would proudly tell me that they were doing a run of 8,000 of this and so forth, and they would show us each of the steps and how they were putting the glass envelopes. And then we got to this coil. The coil was the maid. It was a nice smooth coil. Good foot and a half across, maybe 4 or 5 turns. He told us it ran at a low RF frequency. Gosh knows what it was. And we were all standing there, and we watched it, and the tube would come along the thing, and there was a wooden thing that it would sit in, and this wooden thing would go up into that big coil, and the thing would light up like a flash bulb, and then when it came down, the whole inside of the tube would be glowing red. What is that? Oh, said our tour guide, we're flashing together. I had visions of me being inside one of that coil. That's my bad dream.
Okay, K2VAR, K2ZO. So that's why you want a Faraday cage, huh?
So, they warned us, they said that somebody had wore a ring when they were too close to this coil, and they wouldn't let us get within, I don't know, 15, 18 feet of it. There was a big barrier and stuff, because they said that somebody was wearing a ring, and they suddenly did not have a finger anymore.
Okay, because what you're talking about is induction heating, and yes, indeed, you do take off all your jewelry if you've ever seen an inductive heater. I've watched them inductively heat treat a camshaft for a car, and what there is like a 3-turn coil with water running through it. The final amplifier, RF, goes into that coil, and that camshaft is pushed through there. And in less than 1 second, that camshaft will go from cold to red hot to heat treat it, and that's just with RF.
So they probably had 5 kW or something in that thing. probably less, of course, if you flash them together too. Then, of course, the next question I asked was, wow, what do you do that for? Oh, he says, we have this key over here sucking the air out of the tube, but you never get it all. And this is a very reactive element. When it's heated up to white hot, it grabs all the air and it deposits on the surface of the tube. And of course, the next question is, does this keep forever? Anytime a flare happens to get through the glass envelope, the answer is no. No, it only works in that one supreme instant of time when it's glowing white hot. From then on, it's inert material. It's just there. If they could have gotten rid of it, they would have. But on the inside of the surface of the tube, it doesn't harm anything. So that's why our tubes are coated with a silver coating on the inside. And I did not want to be anywhere near an RF field.
Well, as KQZO, I don't think you're going to have to really worry about the frequencies and the power levels you're going to be running. Your big problem, as you said, is going to be RF getting into things if you don't have a good ground, but I don't think you need to worry too much.
Okay. I believe you. Anybody else got any questions, comments, or anything for the net?
Who am I with a quick comment?
Go ahead, Tony.
I'm not too sure if it's double there or not, but you don't have to go to the oil records to buy sheet metal. You could probably get away with copper screening, the kind of screening you use on window screens to keep mosquitoes out. That would do the job also. But you've got to ground the screening. Back to that.
Well, I thought of that, but we should defer to James. Copper screening would handle the magnetic portion of the wave, but perhaps not so well the electrostatic. I was thinking, a solid sheet of very light gauge steel. Well, one thing is dirt cheap. Number two, it's easy to cut. Number three, it'll stay where I put it in between the tracks in there, where copper screening might easily slip up and be a little bit, you'd have to glue it down or something. Number four, I figured it would be dirt cheap since I'm just going to cut the roofs off of a couple cars.
So, okay, whatever you wish.
I vote for the copper screening. I've seen instrument rooms where they calibrate things and they're made out of copper screening. Just a square room out of copper screening tacked on a 2x4.
Oh, neato. Where can I buy that at a regularly or reasonably low price?
Don't know. It's hard to find.
I find copper screening at Home Depot, but I think you find like a lumen. Would be okay too, as long as you just clamp to it.
And I'm not sure if the crisscrossing strands of aluminum has that oxide coating that makes the strands independent of each other rather than one continuous screen. But copper, of course, as long as it's relatively clean and touches each other, you'd have continuity. What do you think, aluminum screen? Well, I got a shed in the back that I was thinking of throwing away. It's very, very light, 22, 24 gauge galvanized steel, the paint on it. I figured, what the heck, that would stop space aliens from controlling me. Anybody else have any comments, questions, subjects before I close the net?
Close the net without an announcement.
Oh, go ahead with an announcement.
Sunday is the Barra Foxhunt. We'll be meeting at the Westwood High School parking lot, same place as the flea market last week, at 12:30. And around 12:45 or so, the Fox will tell us some details on 7-9. So, come on down and enjoy. It should be a nice day. Have a lot of fun. And your reward is a slice of pizza. So, please come to the Barrel Fox Hunt this Sunday.
Sounds good. I'll make every effort to attend, but that's the Susan B. Coleman Walk for the Cure Day, and I think I discussed it with you, that the XYL has been dragging me there since the early 80s. The other thing is, I'm mindful in the way of announcements, Mr. Mendelson would be looking for a volunteer. He's looking for a few more volunteers for the upcoming New York City Marathon on November 7th. I happen to know that Mile 7 is open, looking for volunteers. Mile 7 is a really great mile for one simple reason. It's not 3 or 4 or 5 where the runners are bunched. And, well, the nice thing about it is you get out early, but the runners are really, really bunched. By 7, they're spread out a little bit. You can see them a little bit. And you still get to go home around noon. Noon, 12:30, maybe 1 o'clock at the latest. Of course, you're in Brooklyn, but it's really one of the better. When I was in mile 18 or 16, I don't remember now. That was about 7 years ago. We didn't get out to about 3, 3:30. That's a little bit hard, especially when you're in Manhattan. But Brooklyn, Staten Island Bridge, zip home, not bad. Mr. Mendelson is looking for volunteers. Mr. Jackson, do you have anything to add to that? And it's 2K, KCBR. Oh, well, he's gone. Anybody else have anything to say? Any announcements, any questions before I close it in? Ah, the deafening sound of the silence. Okay, everybody. Thank you for attending. I put it down. Get your bearer points. I'll say 73. See you tomorrow. Coffee, some of you. This is Antonio, operative K2BR. Think 146-955. What is that? I might fall in blank. Does anybody know which group runs this for tape repeater?
I think it's a Chestnut Ridge repeater, but I'm not too sure.
Oh, well. So thank Andy, K2ETN. I believe he's the one that maintains this repeater. Well, thank you for the use of the repeater. I'll say 73 to everybody. And good night.